You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Well, this week, our Dakota Political Junkies conversation touches on national politics, South Dakota politics, and even southeastern South Dakota politics. We're going to jump from Washington, D.C. to Madison to Mitchell to Sioux Falls. Patrick Lally is editor of Sioux Falls Live, and he joined me in SDPB's Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls. And we connected with Murdoch over in the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City and the SDPB offices there. Murdoch is co-host of the Dakota Town Hall podcast, and his new product, the Rapid City Post, is set to interview Senator Mike Rounds. Let's start there. What's the vibe, as the kids say? What's the vibe check for Senator
Rounds?
What's
the tea? The vibe check is the, you know, what's been interesting about starting a newspaper is you have to, you know, tell people that you'd like an interview, and then, you know, we're certainly learning at that level where everybody has press training and they really don't want to do the interviews oftentimes. But, you know, it was our first heel digging.
What? What do you mean? Who doesn't want to do the interview?
The senators politicians. Just, you know, walking into this, just being candid with everybody as we're learning how to, not that we haven't interviewed some of these people before in other formats, but, you know, he's so fond of saying grown-ups in the room. We wanted a grown-up in the room interview about what is happening in Washington, D.C. that doesn't come through social media or cable news.
Mm-hmm. Did you get it?
We will find out this week. You guys, this audience, we're about to do it. So you guys will find out if we're any good at this or not. Really, I'm setting the bar high. Look at this. This is so silly.
All right. Yeah. Lally, what's your opinion on how people like Senator Rounds, Representative Johnson, and Senator Thune are responding to what's happening in Washington when they talk to people here at home? Because when I talked to Senator Rounds, like one of the first things I said, well, you know what, because he was here for a break over, what was that, Easter? Mm-hmm. And gosh, time is a weird thing right now. And, you know, I said, what are people asking you? And, you know, he was very frank, I thought, about how many people were contacting his office really upset about various things in general, and then also specifically how things were affecting them and how his staff was working very hard to fix things that had been broken. Maybe broken and fixed are not the right words, but how to help constituents who needed congressional support because of policies that were coming from the federal government.
I think that the current state of South Dakota politics are such that if you are a Republican, every day is a minefield.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think... This is not to be... I'm critical of politicians plenty, and I've been covering politics for 30 years.
The heck you say.
But but I don't think that you're ever getting a real answer. And I'll say this.
You don't think you're ever getting a real answer?
No. No. Not, you're not from our congressional delegation right now.
Oh.
Because every day is a minefield, right?
What's a real answer, though?
Something that comes from a place of conscience. I don't think that's what you're getting.
You don't think that's what you're getting, or you don't think that's what anybody's getting?
I don't
think
that's what anybody's getting.
Okay.
I think the things that I hear and the things that I learn and the things that I know about these folks from knowing them for many, many years and interviewing them over many, many years, I think I know where the, I don't want to call it moral compass, but the public conscience of each of these people are, because they've all been around a long time, and I've had...
But you're not saying they're lying.
I'm not saying they're lying.
Or they're obfuscating, is that the word?
I'm saying that they
are
navigating.
But you're saying that they're navigating.
And
well, that's not
complicated
bad.
Airflow.
I'm not saying that is that is not surprising, right? That you as a public figure would navigate the current
Paul
state
Ten
of
Haken?
Things. Paul
Exception?
Ten Haken's he's becoming less navigating.
He's very frank
lately. Yeah. I mean, he's not running for anything.
Doc, he just said to you that Republicans are eating their own.
Yes.
I mean, and that doesn't seem like a...
he had more legislatively in common with Caden Whitman, House Rep from Sioux Falls, than he did the Republican
Party. I feel like he's dropping knowledge right now. He's saying it like it is.
He's very frustrated.
Yeah. And he says, I'm frustrated.
Yep, and he's not running for anything. So he can say that I'm very frustrated that people are demonizing Haitians. He can say, and then just
don't put a picture of the Pope. He tweeted about the Donald Trump.
He said that was bad.
Sort of computer really generated, AI generated image of Trump.
And let's be honest,
Pope,
it was really bad. And, you know, I saw Cardinal Timothy Dolan, talking about it the other day. And it's bad.
So is that working for Ten Hagen?
It doesn't matter. He's not running for anything.
Does
he's
it not
done.
Matter?
He's yet. Done.
Does yet.
If you, but if you're Dusty Johnson, you are completely up to the neck in trying to navigate a Republican primary in the state of South Dakota.
Doc, what do you think?
I think a lot of people are skating to where they want the puck to be in 28 and 32.
What a really nice analogy. I mean, what a well-formed sentence. Did you just make that up? Or is that something you drop all the time and I just haven't heard you say yet? They're skating to where the puck wants to be.
Can't be my line. It's like the Michael Scott bit where I'm trying to steal it.
See, I've never heard that before.
Is it Gretzky? I think.
Is that Gretzky? Okay.
Maybe, man. I sounded smart for 10 seconds.
Cite your sources.
I believe as many people that it's applicable to, whether they're in office or maybe thinking about office, are contemplating what the future will look like when it's less.
I'm a little light on sports analogies as a general rule, so it's not hard to surprise me with the sports analogy. Okay.
Forgot.
I see what you're
Should
saying.
Should have brought my chess references. I was on public broadcasting.
But, you know, I mean, if you look at Dusty's a great example. Okay. I mean,
I love that everybody still calls him Dusty no matter what. He could be president.
Well, because
and
his last name,
like Dusty, was here.
Well, because his last name's Johnson, you know, so
I call him Congressman Johnson.
I mean, to that point, though, everyone calls Dusty still. And it's not like they're not bombastic. They're not, they don't have to be what, you know, Secretary Noem is doing in the hearings. They're known to be cautious with their answers and how they govern. And so, you know, I think that's more of the conversation.
That's statesmanship.
Yes.
So, yeah, where's the difference between, like, someone who's not running and is being very frank in the public eye, like Ten Hagen, and saying things that maybe people want him to say because they reveal how he really feels. Even if you don't agree with him, people might find that refreshing, in quotation marks. But then you also have this idea of statesmanship, Patrick, that is just simply, you know, maybe these people are coming on, and it's not that they're being disingenuous or they're being, like, overly cautious because of a primary. They're just being professional and statesmanlike, and they're using the language of that is not influencer, social media, casual language. They're raising the bar for civil discourse. What about that? Yes? No?
I would say there's a difference between all three of those members of our delegation. Mm-hmm. Each of them plays a different role. Each of them is in a different situation. When you look at John Thune, he is walking a tightrope of the tightest measure. Everything he says is analyzed. And I think when I listen to him today, what I hear is a very neutral position on many things in terms of the way he says it, right? He is not generally critical of the president, but he is also not generally leading the charge, right? He is leading the Republican, he is leading the Senate of the United States.
I guess
States.
What I'm asking you is, are you making a value judgment about these things, or are you just saying what you're seeing?
I think everybody has to make a value judgment based on it. If you're a voter for that person, is this person's, you know, that's the danger of becoming the Senate majority leader, right? Is that person still speaking for me? Well, you know, it's John Thune, so I think he's on pretty solid ground, right? But I don't think the things that he says on the Senate floor are the things that he thinks about when he goes to bed at night.
Sure, but you don't think the senators and House reps during Warren Harding's time danced a little? I mean, that's not that new.
Well, I would say that No, I don't. I don't agree with that. I think that that Congress, the Senate, has always been a place of where ideas are brought forward and argued, and I don't think that's what's happening. Generally, I think the old John Thune was much more pointed in what he thought was best for South Dakota. And I'm not saying he doesn't think those things now, okay? But he is stuck in this spot. This is not a normal period of history, okay? Because I do believe that some of the fundamental things that we thought were important as a democracy and as a republic are in question, all right? Whether you think that's good or not, that's for each of you to decide. But when you are talking about restricting habeas corpus, okay, this is a serious problem, okay? If you are starting to invoke war powers.
So what do you want? Habeas corpus is a good example. Chief Justice John Roberts, you know, openly said the rule of law is important. It's part of what makes America America. Yep. He talked about, you know, civics education and in school so people understand how the system works. Stephen Miller is questioning whether habeas corpus applies to some of these people that they would like to deport.
He's not questioning it.
Right, but saying it doesn't. What do you want John Thune to do? Wait for, because should he, question, does he have a role as Senate leader and a senator representing South Dakotans to weigh in publicly? And I just came off of a couple of days off, so maybe he already did. I haven't seen it. But what is his job to do then? Because the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court has weighed in on that. Do you need John Thune to weigh in on it publicly or not?
I think there's a line at some point. And I'm not saying we're at it, but he is one of the most powerful people in the world. And if you get to a point where you feel like the rule of law, I mean, at some measure, it doesn't matter what Chief Justice John Roberts says if they do it anyway.
Well, he would be the one.
Would he? They keep put people on planes and shipping them off.
What do you mean? It without matter if the Chief Justice.
Woody's funny.
No, it's a serious point.
I think you meant it funny. It was just landed funny. Sorry.
No, I get it. But like,
this is an intense junkies conversation.
It is a very philosophical question, though, about the nature of law and the nature of government
the
and democracy.
The nature of law would be decided in the courts.
Would it? If the chief executive?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
There's no guarantee
that
of that.
Question and say yes.
How? Why?
I guess I
took civics in high school with a really great civics professor.
That
I still believe that place for that to be decided would be. I believe there's a place for what Congress needs to be doing, but we heard from the Chief Justice. Now we will watch it play out.
And I'm not going to judge the policy, okay? Mm-hmm. But you are seeing the executive branch in open defiance of the Supreme Court on what we may consider to be trivial things right now.
Oh, I don't think anybody considers them trivial.
Well, but people aren't rising up about it.
Nobody, yeah.
Have you heard let's bring this back to John Thune. Have you heard him say, I am deeply concerned about the executive branch's defiance of the Supreme Court?
I have not heard him say that.
So
do I need to hear him say it? That's my question to you.
Well, at some point there's a line.
Say it? Yeah.
There is a line.
Well,
where
and you're arguing that we're at that line?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm saying that when you look at the way things are constructed, you put a lot of faith in institutions.
Doc,
this is me and Lally.
This is me and Lally at the bar.
Yeah,
I love it. I wish, you know,
there are no drinks here.
Ultimately, all the law is words. Right?
But take it back to South Dakota, right?
Yeah,
in the instantaneousness of this all, and everyone's dug into positions, not saying that you are, Patrick, but a lot of, you know, the people out in the street, you know, citizens dug into prepositions. But look at what's happening at Dakota State. People are protesting Nome. Mm-hmm. We have a midterm coming up. This is, you know, we'll work this through the plumbing one way or the other, won't we?
Again, I go back to the idea. And this is when you take these things, and I'm not saying to an extreme, but if you start to play them out, well, this happened, what are their intentions? And if you have high-level people in the executive branch saying, we're going to suspend habeas corpus because we believe that we have the right to do that because we are being invaded.
That's the question. And we can go back to this. I mean, this started very early in South Dakota. I'm not saying it started in South Dakota, but we are noticing it in South Dakota with this. It is a war zone on the southern border.
Right.
This entire argument about whether this was or was not a war zone, whether this is or is not an invasion, is something that the executive branch believes is true and is going to play out in the courts. And that's not a good thing to be living through if it is impacting you and tens of thousands of people are being impacted by this. I don't want to minimize this. I also want to say that you are watching it play out in the courts mm-hmm. in a very interesting way.
And, you know, the examples through history are, and if, whether or not you believe these things are important or not, but the loss, the transfer of real power into, if not one person, into one smaller piece of government where the other co-equal branches of government are lesser. Mm. Okay, that is a gradual process, and it has been happening. The role of the executive in this country has been strengthened and strengthened and strengthened and strengthened. So at what point is there a line where we are no longer what we thought we were, and we're something else? And you
or
know
are
what?
There are a thousand different lines.
There are a lot of people. There are plenty of people in China and plenty of people in Russia who are just happy with the government they got.
I want to bring it back to one thing since I said I was away for a few days, and this is just, I don't know, it has been on my mind since I came back. When I happened to be traveling the day that Donald Trump, when he was campaigning, there was the attempted assassination, mm-hmm. and I was in the airport, and I think I got a text saying, you know, have you seen the news? And so I was looking it up, and I looked around the airport. I think I was making a connection in Minneapolis, and the televisions on the bars were on. You could see the news. Nobody was watching. And I thought, well, this is weird. Don't you think people would be, like, around their television sets at the airport bars, like, watching this unfold? This is pretty significant news. I didn't see anybody. So I thought, well, they're just looking at their phones, right? So I kind of, you know, sort of, like, looking over people's shoulders to see what they were looking at. None of them were watching this news. I thought it was just such a surreal moment at the time. I happened to be on the plane when they announced the new pope, and nobody was talking about anything other than the new pope. So the seat backs of the airlines were coming on, and people were turning on, you know, CNN or whatever news, and they were like, here's Pope Bob or Pope Leo or whatever.
Red, white, and blue smoke, Lori, come on.
Red, white, and blue smoke. I mean, I'm walking through the airport, people are around the bar talking about, why on earth would people care more about an American pope than they would have about the potential assassination of an American presidential candidate? It was a weird, I mean, there's no science behind this. This is just my singular observation of a
betting lines
of a strange moment. But that was strange.
I've never thought about
what that's... what captured the American attention about a new pope.
Betting lines.
What do you mean? Betting
you can
lines.
Bet on you put a little money on which pope was gonna, you know, the Pope Calcutta.
It was 18-1 on.
Is
on
that the, what you are? You being serious right now?
Because, yes, a little.
Oh.
Well, that, I mean, a little funny, too, but that's, you know, my MO.
It's only funny if I'm laughing.
It's fair.
I don't know. That's...
But, you know, you put a little cash on the Filipino Pope, and then and no one had money on the American Pope.
You always bet on. You throw a little bit on the American Pope.
I know. I felt like a bad American for not.
But
put my
bet?
Money on the no. good vibe. Yeah, of course, allegedly.
You, and you lost?
No. This is all just
you're
a hypothetical
man.
Bit.
I don't know.
We're
that
wrapping
is a,
up because
that
you
is
know,
a very weird experience.
People have other things to do with their days.
We didn't even get to prisons.
You think the prison, Mitchell brought forward a good argument for why the state penitentiary should be moved to the fine city of Mitchell.
They had a great proposal.
Give me your elevator pitch. How did Mitchell deliver?
They put a hard number in it, mm-hmm. $2.8 million. Mm-hmm. They said, we've got water, sewer, fiber optics. We're on a hard paved road. We've got all the services. We've got everything you need. Put it here. And the other proposals, well, not they were fine, but they didn't have all those elements. They didn't all have utilities. They didn't all have... They put the price negotiable. Well, come on.
Should this have happened a year ago,
oh,
two
yeah,
years ago?
Absolutely.
You should have said, what city wants this?
Yep.
Give us your...
Yep.
Why didn't it happen like that?
Because...
Or did it? I don't know.
No.
I do not know
didn't,
if...
Didn't it happen.
Kinda? No. No.
It must have kind of... I bet if Lieutenant Governor Van Huysen here, which is here, he would say, what?
It was a different process. It wasn't this, send us your proposals, Mitchell. They put a much harder border around it, and they said, we are looking for a place to go. And it was always
different cities were vying for the capital back in the day.
Right. Yeah, it feels very historic, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it does. Yeah. And I think they're having a good conversation now. The problem they're going to have is it's too short. Like, they're going to have a special session in July and like four meetings between there and come up with a plan. That's going to be pretty tough.
They could extend it.
They could
get that prison built in Mitchell. The Corn Palace are to be super unique.
I heard
out to the prison chain gang.
Somebody said to me on social media, call it the corn prison, world's only corn prison.
Come on, Lori, local reference jokes. Isn't that funny?
But they need Mitchell. All right. Mitchell deserves it. They could use it. It'd be good for their community. You can't tell me that they couldn't hire people to work in Mitchell.
All right. Murdoch, Dakota Town Hall Podcast, Rapid City Post, Lally, Sioux Falls Live. We'll put links up to your stuff. This is a big win for all the podcast listeners that they got the extended cut of the show. So thanks for hanging out for us, you guys.
That was fun.
Yeah.
It was a good time.